Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of SJS here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us. And today we'll be talking a little bit about Penn State football and the Big Ten as well with Neil Riddell of the Altoona Mirror. We're also going to talk extensively with Steve Samsel, media critic, who takes a long look at what they do in television. Fabulous job of analyzing. We'll talk about the Stanley Cup Final, about how they cover Indianapolis, or Pocono, I should say, how they cover the NBA, talk about NFL coverage, college football coverage, all that and much more. So we have a lot to talk about today. Plus, still on the table, you're Ruben Amaro, right? Who do you trade? I mean, they're obvious they've been able to. I know Ruben Amaro is doing the right thing. He is saying that, look, the next 10 days are critical. I understand that. The next 10 days are critical. But once you get past the 10 days, they're going to have to make serious decisions on certain players. Utley, Young, Ruiz, Rollins, Papelbon, Lee, that core group. Turns out that Ryan Howard took himself out of it because of the injury. But we'll talk about that topic as well. So there's a lot to talk about today. And we'll come back with more after Above the Noise with Dan Patrick on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Low water's out here in Beaver Springs, and it's that time again. That's right, on July 12th and 13th at 6:30 at the Beaver Fairgrounds, it's the screaming, smoking, unbridled power of the working man's farm tractors, showing everyone who's got the muscle and who is boss. Friday is 6, 7, and 85 open dirt-slinging, mud-flying action. 4,500, 5,500, and 7,000 farm stock pace tractors yanking the sled from the fairgrounds to the Beaver Lodge. Saturday night has 11,500, 13,000, 15,000, 17,000, and 19,000 pound off-the-farm pace tractors and 11,500 and 1,300 farm stock no pace. It's only $5 to get in, and there'll be food stands available all evening. That's July 12th and 13th, 6:30 at the Beaver Fairground, behind the Beaver Lodge in Beaver Springs. Brought to you by the Pennsylvania Lottery, Snyder County Commissioners, Troyer Transport, and your friends at Beaver Motors, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram Truck.
Welcome to Wednesday. Great to have you on board. We're 48 hours away from Lift for Life. That will take place at the Penn State lacrosse field. We're looking forward to that very much. That will take place 5 to 7. There'll be an autograph session afterward. And we have plenty to talk about today, which we're looking forward to very much. Scheduled to have Steve Samsel, Neil Riddell on, talk about media. And we'll talk a little Penn State football with Neil as well, because the countdown is on. It's 50 days away from the college football opener today. That will be North Carolina, South Carolina. And that means we're 52 days away from Penn State opening with Syracuse. That will take place at MetLife Stadium. On Sunday, expect the announcement to be made about Penn State and Ireland. We're looking forward to that. They'll make that announcement. Technically, it's Central Florida's home game. Central Florida's coming here this year. Orlando Sentinel's been reporting that. And we're looking forward to it. But first things first. Yesterday, we talked about the Phillies and whether there should be, whether the time has come for them to rid themselves of salary and rid themselves of players whose time has come and gone. Uh, And it was interesting, if you had to pick a single player that the fans were most frustrated with based on the calls we had yesterday, it was Ryan Howard. Very interesting. That was the player they were most interested in getting rid of. Cincinnati leads Milwaukee 3-1, bottom of the fourth. Miami still leading over Atlanta 4-2 in the bottom half of the eighth inning. The Phillies will play Washington tonight. Last night was a good night for the Phils. Cole Hamels, timely hitting. Oakland plays Pittsburgh tonight. You realize the Pirates have never beaten the A's? The A's are 11-0 against the Pirates in interleague play. Interleague play has been a huge plus, I think. I think it's been a huge plus for a long time. I think it's one of the smarter things that they've done. I think it's added more juice to the game because you're getting a chance now to see some teams that you didn't get a chance to see before. And I think that's good. That's why I think making the All-Star game the game to determine which league ends up being the host for games 1, 2, 6, and 7 of the World Series is meaningless. Let the regular season determine best record as to who is going to be the team that hosts. You play enough interleague games now, I think that has to be the way to do it. I just don't see any other way to do it. At all. I just don't. I think the record should determine who hosts, not the All-Star game. We're coming up, by the way, on the Big Ten annual kickoff luncheon that will take place in Chicago. And Bill O'Brien will be going, and the players that he'll be taking with him will be Malcolm Willis, John Urschel, and Glenn Carson. And not only is John Urschel going, they pick a student athlete every year to address the luncheon itself. When they go to this, it's a two-day event that is a series of press conferences for each coach in front of assembled media, and then they have breakdown days, tables with assembled media and players that you can then sit down and have more intimate conversations with instead of a group of maybe 50 to 100 reporters in a room. Maybe there are five or six gathered around. And the players are a part of that along with Bill O'Brien. Then Bill gets his spot in front of everybody as they rotate through, and then they do the TV interviews with the Big Ten Network, TV interviews with regular with other stations, and radio interviews as well, individually. But then they have the luncheon. And at the luncheon, they pick a student athlete to address that luncheon. 2 years ago, Kirk Cousins gave as fine a speech as I've ever heard anybody give. I mean anybody. Can't include politicians. Far too long-winded. Don't quite get the attention span of the audience out there. His speech was eloquent to the point and made you appreciate the game. Well, the player that's been selected this year to make that speech is John Urschel of Penn State. As I mentioned, they have the Campbell Award, which goes to the outstanding student athlete. If he doesn't win it, the award should be bagged. He's now teaching a class. And John Urschel will be the one to address everyone in Chicago at the luncheon. And John will do just fine. There'll be no issue whatsoever. If you've ever talked to John, you're impressed by his intelligence and his drive and also in the fact that he is far from a self-promoter. In fact, the opposite. There are times he can be shy. But he's an interesting mix of someone who is an incredible intellectual. I mean, he is a math genius. But he loves football. Loves playing the game. Many a times we go to a Starbucks, and I would see John in there with his father. Father is a really nice man as well. Both of them on their computers, going through, talking to one another. And I'd always stop by and talk to them for a couple minutes. Just very impressive. Easy to talk to. And has developed himself into a really good football player to the point where I think he's one of the top five linemen in the Big Ten. I still have to vote, by the way, and I'll probably do it tonight. I still have to vote for players of influence. I have to pick five in each division. So I just can't go and, you know, say I have to pick 10 players, but I can't take 10 players and just pick eight out of the leaders division and two out of the legends. I can't do that. I have to pick five from each division. There's certain guys that are obvious. I think it's pretty obvious that you're going to put Taylor Martinez, Braxton Miller, and Allen Robinson, for example, on your ballot as players of influence. So those three are fine. Now I have to sit back and really think about some other guys. Ryan Shazier of Ohio State would be one. James White of Wisconsin, the running back, who's replacing Monte Ball. White's a really good running back in his own right anyway. I mean, you know, guys like that, but they've got to come up with more. I've got to come up with, I think my wild card might be a guy like Taylor Lewan, the offensive tackle of Michigan. First team All-American. The guy's pretty good, really good. But I have to do that. I have to come up with five players of influence in each division. I have to do it before Friday, so I'll probably take some time tonight. I finally have a break in the baseball schedule for me. I don't have any games for the next 7 days, so I can comfortably sit down tonight, think about it, and then vote. But we're getting closer to that time. 50 days, 7 weeks from tomorrow. 7 weeks from tomorrow. It is North Carolina, South Carolina in the opener. 7 weeks from Saturday, Penn State, Syracuse at MetLife Stadium. Kevin says August is his favorite month. Sarah Bartlett, what is your favorite month? What is your favorite month? Kevin says his favorite month happens to be August.
August, okay.
Which, by the way, confused the populace massively.
I would think so. Now, why is that?
Sarah, exactly what goes on in August?
Well, I would...
Not much.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't know. I mean...
It's the start of things.
Right.
It's the start of high school football.
Yeah.
It's the start of college football.
Yeah.
And he says, everybody's 0-0. I said, Kevin... I said, everybody will be 0-0 on August 30th. I said, is August 31st still in the same month? He said, yes. I said, half of those teams will have a loss and will be out of it. He said, oh.
Oh, right. There goes his whole argument.
Yes, his theory. Well, look, you're not really swimming upstream fighting his arguments usually, okay?
That's true.
So what is your favorite month and why?
I would have to say, even though I'll say this, I love really, really warm weather and I love summer. That's my favorite season. However,
sure.
February is my favorite month, one, because it's my birthday, and two, because it's the Super Bowl. And I love the Super Bowl, especially this past year.
But there's a big event.
Right.
Hey, there's a big event. You love February because it is. And not only that, the Winter Olympics are going to be in February this year. Daytona 500's in February. The Super Bowl's in February.
Yeah, there's a lot going on a month where it's cold, and I don't really like the cold, but there's a lot going on. I got a lot to do.
K Kevin picks a month where they're practicing. Practice.
Practice.
Have you noticed Kevin loves practice?
Oh, he loves practice.
Practice isn't as tense for Kevin. He loves practice. Wow.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Steve Jones, along with Sarah Bartlett, carrying through this Wednesday afternoon. Next half hour, we're going to talk about what you watch on TV and what you may be seeing on TV in the next 6 months with Steve Samsel, media critic. But we bring in the sports editor of the Altoona Mirror, and he is the senior writer on the Penn State beat. Old friend, and I'll emphasize myself on old, we'll call him young, Neil Riddell of the Altoona Mirror. Neil, welcome.
My emphasis on friend.
Very good. I like that very much. I was talking about you.
How are you, Steve?
I'm doing well. It's great to hear from you.
Thank you.
I was talking about the USA Today front. And
I heard that.
And the fold, underneath the fold. It's just a fact of life these days, isn't it?
Well, sometimes you can only get three stories on the cover, although their paper has undergone an even dramatic circumcision, if you will, than most of ours.
It certainly was something that changed the landscape when it came out in 82. You talk about the dramatic circumcision. How dramatic has it been, and what do you think of the style as to how they put it together?
I don't really like their redesign, but I'm trying to be positive about newspaper redesigns and newspapers in general. But it just is a little small. It almost looks like you can turn it sideways and it's practically square. We're all kind of in this together. And I know when we first changed our paper, the width of it, we lost almost a column. And initially, of course, everybody's hyperventilating because you think, oh, my God, and it just didn't look like a whole mirror anymore. But I really got used to it. I think it's a little handier. Theirs is even more thinner. So it just takes a little bit more imagination when you can't put as many stories out there. You have to make certain decisions. Sometimes, frankly, Steve, three stories on a section front is okay. They may be worthy of, and you may be forcing a fourth or fifth element on your cover. I was looking at an old mirror an anniversary of something about 60 years ago, and they literally had 25 stories, mostly one column on page one, and a lot of them jumped. So we're all undergoing some changes.
Your thoughts on the last 2 weeks of the Pirates? I know there are some Pirate fans that are panicking. I see no need to panic. It's just an aberration for a first-place team. They all go through it, especially in today's balanced game. But what do you think?
You know, I think that Hurdle has done a great job in 3 years. Clearly he has to get them to the point where they're finishing stronger. They do look like they have a better team, for sure, a better pitching staff. I wonder if they need another power bat. I'm not saying they should trade Taillon, but it just seems that the right field is kind of a void. I'm enjoying the Pirates. I mean, we wanted this for so long, meaningful games in July and hopefully August. And I still think they're in decent shape. Every team's going to go through this. It is ironic that they haven't beaten the A's. The one thing last night, and we've dealt with this. I'm sure you've dealt with the spikes, these dry delays. And you don't think you're going to see it in the major leagues. And as a fan, it just drives you straight up a wall. I mean, they have a major league grounds crew over there. And unless you're expecting a tornado, I just can't believe that that was done.
I can't either. I was really shocked that they did that. I mean, play, right? You can cover the field.
Exactly. The reins cover the field. I mean, to make people sit there on a weeknight, I just think it's one of the worst marketing things you could possibly do.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I was shocked when I heard of that. But, you know, they'll tell you it's precautionary and so forth. Why do you think God created Diamond Drive?
Well, usually the minor leagues say that it's in the hands of the umpires.
Right. And it is.
Yeah.
I mean, before the game, it's not. Before the game, it's not. During the game, it's the umpires, and it's their call to make that particular call.
Yeah,
but I'm with you. I do.
I'm enjoying them. I like the fact that so many of they've come through here. They're doing it through the draft. I mean, if you look at most of their really good players, Alvarez, McCutchen, Marte, Walker, these guys have come through their system. They've developed them. Now Cole. Hopefully tie on at some point, and they've mixed and matched with the free agency that they could afford. So, I think it's been fun.
I think tie-on obviously will be a target of other teams. They have to say no on that. But I think what they've done, and we see this in Altoona, and we saw the beginnings of it in State College, but you see it in Altoona all the time. They have, to me, enough depth in their system beyond tie-on where they can make some moves.
Yeah, but I also could see, because how long are you going to have Burnett? What is Rodriguez's situation now? To get rid of their really great young arms, I think, would kind of swerve off the course of how they've tried to build it. So I kind of understand it, even though you would get a really good player for somebody like that.
Right. I mean, but I would be willing to acquire, I think they need one player, a player. It's got to be the right one. But I think they need a player. They don't need to make multiple moves. And they don't need to trade Tyon to get that player. I just think they need to get another player. And the one thing that bothers me about Pirate fans, which I understand it, but I'm still wondering how many are satisfied with 82 wins as opposed to the playoffs. And I think you have to have the playoffs or nothing.
Well, I agree with it. I agree. Well, I don't want to shift the conversation to Penn State basketball, but I mean, I think everybody has kind of realistic type goals of who you are, where you are in your program, in your development. So, I mean, if the Pirates, after the way, if you would have said to me before the season started, will you be satisfied with a 500 record, I would have said yes, just because let's end the suffering, right. At least from, let's take the albatross off. But once they roared out to where they are, and even to where they are now, I think anything less than a trip to the playoffs, it will be a disappointment, and I think that's how it should be. I think they've closed the gap in some of the expectations, you know, pretty well this year. But before the season started, I would have taken a 500.
Right, and let's face it, there will be some people. You mentioned Penn State basketball. Would they be satisfied getting to the NIT this year? I think a lot of people say yes, you know, and you and I both know it. The NCAA tournament is the place to be.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's that would be a fantastic leap.
Yes.
But probably if they got to the NIT, it would be a measure of progress.
Yeah, no question. No question. Because, number one, you'd have a winning record again, and you'd be playing some postseason games that would give the younger players valuable one-and-done experience. And there is a value to that, without a doubt. But the Pirates have – what I've been impressed with is that the fans have jumped on board. They had the consecutive sellouts. That part, I think, is a plus. It shows that Pittsburgh is a far better baseball town now than it was in the 70s.
Yeah, and I think the Interleague has helped tremendously. Well as they're playing right now, I don't think on Mondays and Tuesdays that they would have been drawing like they have for some of these Interleague teams.
Well, I think Interleague has made a big difference. That's why I think this All-Star game where the winning side gets to host the World Series – Neil, there's enough interleague right now where best records to determine who does it. There's enough interleague to do that.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about attaching meaning to the All-Star game, and I've never quite gotten over when they ended the game in a tie. I'm sure you probably have the year that when Seelig went over, or Torrey went over to Seelig and said, I don't have any pitchers left.
2002.
Yeah, I just think that was unacceptable, because I remember we didn't have a color TV, and I went over across the street to my uncle's house and was watching a 16-inning game when maybe Tony Perez won in the mid to late 60s. Was it like a 1-0 game? Again, I know you're going to know.
It was 1967, and it was in Anaheim.
I'm just lobbing softballs for your trivia.
It was 1967 in Anaheim.
And how many? It was 16 innings?
15 or 16.
Okay. I mean, I just think the drama would build. The other thing I remember about that, though, Steve, is it was not that late at night.
No.
You know, so I don't know. I think the All-Star game lost, and then they lost some of its meaning when they decided, they agreed, we're going to end this in a tie. And now they're going to tell us, hey, no, this is really significant.
Yeah, because you and I both know it's not. It's a meaningless exhibition. The fun guy has been Yasiel Puig. The fans now have an opportunity to vote him in. I think in the end, it fell right that the fans should have that chance to vote him in the last part, if they want to, if they want Freeman. How did you fall on that, between those who have worked hard and played the entire half versus a guy that's played a month?
I think the fans want to see him, and I would like to see him.
So would I.
I do think it's a mix, you know, and there is a balance. If there, obviously you wouldn't want to see A-Rod or Braun or guys that really haven't, you know, as far as either they're in trouble or they haven't played this year or both. I don't think those guys should be in. But I think the best part of most All-Star games are the introductions. And that's what I kind of want to see, what the ovations are, particularly from the hometown crowd. What will, because there's some emotion there, and you see what it is really meaningful to the guys who are representing those cities who get to play at home. And I kind of like that. So, you know, but I think it's a mix. I'd like to see Puig.
Yeah, I would too. I think he'd add some juice to the game. I mean, even if he comes up and pinch hits in the seventh inning, you'd be like, hey, wait a minute, there's the dude. That's the guy everybody's talking about.
Yeah, and I think they also should get everyone in if they possibly can. I realize there may be some pitchers that either can't or it's just not feasible.
Right, yeah, the pitching part, yeah, that's hard. Yeah, the guys on the bench that play in the field, yes. Live for Life is coming up on Friday. We're now less than a month away from the start of training camp. What are some of your pre-training camp thoughts on this football team that's coming up?
Well, I congratulate the entire program. It's now spanned, you know, it's been extended into, you know, the next generation of coaching staffs, on this mission. I think it's phenomenal, you know, what they've done. Talk about giving back and community service. So I think that's a great summer event, and really tied into the Arts Festival. It's really worked out nicely. Starting to gear up. I think the Syracuse game is not going to be an easy game. And no. I'm sure Syracuse is coming in thinking they have a chance to beat Penn State. And even though these teams haven't met that often, you know, old school fans, that was a really good rivalry. And especially back in the days that go further back than we do, Steve. I mean, that was... that was as good a series as Penn State had for a while. So I think it's kind of neat that they're opening with Syracuse. But I'm not underestimating any of these non-conference games. You know, some of these teams, Kent State, Central Florida, they're well-coached and come off, you know, successful seasons. And Penn State, you're going to be breaking in a new quarterback. There's a question about depth. And I just think that, you know, it's the O'Brien era is still so new that there's still going to be, I think, a lot of intrigue that we're still learning.
And we'll find out officially on Sunday about the Ireland game. How did you feel about that?
I have mixed emotions about it. I think it's a nice reward for the players, but it's a long trip, and you know, we'll have to see how it's, you know, Notre Dame is a natural there. I'll be curious how many people follow. But it's, you know, in the absence of a bowl game, it is a nice reward for the players and the fact that these coaches have a relationship. It's been rumored for so long that it wasn't really a big surprise.
What if they put a Guinness Stein at your seat?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to lure you in, Neil.
Yeah.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. I always enjoy these talks we have. They don't happen often enough as far as I'm concerned. Thanks for the time.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Have a good day.
Neil Riddell, Altoona Mirror. Next half hour, Steve Samsel, and what you watch on TV and what you're going to be watching over the next 6 months. We'll talk about that and much more as we continue. SJS for a Wednesday here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle.
Our thanks to Neil Riddell for joining us on the show today from the Altoona Mirror. Television. It is our window to the world, and the latest survey shows that 42% of people surveyed that are sports fans say that if they had a choice between TV and the game, they'd rather be at the game. That means 58% say that they would rather be in front of the TV set watching said game instead of being in the stadium. Interesting. There are a lot of reasons for it, but it's also generational. If you went back to a time 30 years ago when I was 25 years of age, and you ran this same poll, you made this 1983, I'm 25 years of age. This is the part of the program where I start humming memories. I venture to say 80 to 90% of those polled would have said, I'd rather be at the game than watching it on TV. Television does a marvelous job of covering events. ESPN, CBS, NBC, ABC, the niche networks, Big Ten Network, NHL Network, NBA Network, NFL Network. They have 13 games every year. MLB Network. MLB Network's a joy to watch. Watched the game on Saturday night. Had an opportunity Saturday night to just sit back on a Saturday night late game and watch the Red Sox play the Angels in Anaheim. That's the one where the Angels came back and won dramatically by tying it in the ninth, and then Josh Hamilton won it with a home run late when it looked like the Red Sox had the game in hand 6-3. But it was relaxing for me to sit down and just watch a game. I didn't have to get up the next morning, you know, for the first time in a while. As I'm in the span right now in which I'm working every day for two consecutive weeks, and I finally will get a day off on Saturday. I'll end up working 14 straight days. You know, because I do two things. On the 4th of July, I had a ball game, and I had I was the TV host of the fireworks display on one of the local stations here, WHVL. But TV does a marvelous job of covering games. And I was able to put my feet up, have a beverage, watch the game. You know, my 50-inch flat screen window to the world that's in HD. Television does a great job with it. And it's going to be one of the fights for every sport to make sure they sell as many seats as possible. And TV should want this as well. Television should want people at the games because the ambiance it provides, it adds that level of excitement that makes it more interesting for the viewer at home. Now, this will be an issue we'll be talking about more and more as time goes on, but Steve Samsel is going to join us and talk about some of those opportunities because there are new networks being added. Speed Channels is going to become Fox Sports 1, F1, next month. A year from now, the SEC will have its own network. I doubt we'll have that on our cable system, just like we don't have the Pac-12 network. The Pac-12 network is an up-and-down proposition right now. Of the college networks, the Big Ten network is unquestionably profitable, in the black, Jim Delaney was ahead of the curve, and by getting Comcast and Time Warner both to jump in, that was big. So we'll talk about that next half hour with Steve Samsel. Steve Kerr has some interesting items when it comes to talking about the changes he wants to see in college basketball. And there are a couple of them I think really are really relevant. Because when you're at a game, what drives you crazy at the game? It's the long breaks where you're sitting in the arena, the stadium, and you're saying, come on, let's go. But you know you're in a television commercial. You're in a television break. And if you're in an NCAA tournament game, they're longer. People don't realize the breaks are longer by 70 seconds for each commercial. And not only that, but the first timeout in the first half is also a long timeout, even if the coach calls it 30. That means there are 10 commercials in the game that are over 3 minutes long. 3 minutes and 10 seconds, 3:15 in length. The NCAA tournament actually has 10 extra minutes of commercials built in. The 16, 12, 8, and 4 each half, and the first timeout of each half. Because, again, the first timeout in the first half is also a long timeout in the NCAA. That's why when Dick and I did the Penn State-Temple game in Tucson 2 years ago, we took a longer time getting into the break because we knew we had the time. We're going to talk about that and much more next hour. And I want to get your thoughts as to why you stay at home.